the SATA and all political prisoners. Again, that's the 2014 Assata Shakur Solidarity Community Event, Sunday, November 2nd, 7 to 9 p.m. at the Center for Intercultural Organizing in Portland. More information can be found at kbu.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the Fall 2014 Portland Debtors Assembly, taking place Thursday, October 30th from 7 to 9 p.m. at the Center for Intercultural Organizing in Portland. Participants will learn about the debt system, listen to personal stories on how debt affects our daily lives, connect with groups working to redefine our funding priorities, and organize. Again, that's the Fall 2014 Portland Debtors Assembly, Thursday, October 30th, 7 to 9 p.m. at the Center for Intercultural Organizing, 700 North Killingsworth Street in Portland. More information may be found at kbu.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Tune in Tuesday night at 6 p.m. to Out Loud, KBOO's queer culture radio show.
Out Loud celebrates and serves the lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, queer, questioning, and allied communities.
Out Loud features interviews with local and national community groups, authors, musical talent, and anyone from the queer community.
Connect with us online at kboo.fm/outloud. Tune in Tuesday at 6 p.m. on KBOO Portland.
Good morning, Cascadia. Today is Tuesday, October 28th, 2014, and you're listening to KBOO Portland, your community radio at 90.7 FM, kboo.fm on the web. All are yours because you support it. This radio station would not be on the air now, would not have been on the air 24/7 for over 45 years were it not for you. Think about it. That is huge. What a gift. What a gift to Portland. What a gift to yourself. What a gift to your legacy. That's about it. Thanks. Well, today we have a huge story. Regular listeners are familiar with the DeSmog Blog's Steve Horn. He is an investigative journalist. He's broken many huge stories. And another one today, this time it's on fracking and the numbers. It turns out that the numbers just don't pan out. But if we did rip the tablecloth out from underneath this fracking feast, Wall Street would probably crash. Therefore, whether or not there's any actual truth supporting the numbers on regarding fracking and our deliriously newfound faith in fossil fuels, didn't mean to do that alliteration, it just came out, but despite all that, we nonetheless forge ahead into a pretty dark future. Not only are the numbers wrong, not only would the eventual acceptance of that fact tank Wall Street, but think about it. Bottom line is we're still using fossil fuels. We're still fracking. That has to stop. If it doesn't, it won't matter whether Wall Street is still standing when we wake up in the morning, because there won't be any air to breathe. So anyway, that said, we have a great deal of other exciting developments here in Cascadia. Just before we speak with Steve Horn with DeSmog Blog on this amazing breaking story, just to bring listeners up to speed, Multnomah County will for the first time have a single prosecutor responsible for guarding against wrongful convictions and investigating challenges to convictions. Multnomah County Prosecutor Russ Ratto, don't you love it? His name really is Ratto. If you haven't come up against the Multnomah County Prosecutor, you might not know that, but indeed, it's Ratto. He starts a new job on Monday. Ratto will review claims of innocence after convictions have occurred and update office protocols. We need to do a lot more updating on the prosecutor's office and mayor protocol, I believe. Multnomah County's District Attorney Rod Underhill says that assigning one deputy prosecutor to the work will make it easier to track cases and boost public confidence. That's right. One guy is going to be standing up for your innocence. I'd really like a lot more. I'd like to know there was an army of people standing up for my innocence if it ever came into question. And here's the what, where, and when of this. At the Maranatha Church in Portland on Saturday, that's November 1st, David, wouldn't you know, dear Los Muertos, 3 p.m., Reverend Robert White is speaking in Portland as part of the Race and Police Accountability Forum. He's be speaking on the Ferguson story, What Really Happened. The forum takes place at the church, sponsored by the Albina Ministerial Alliance, as always, and the Coalition for the Justice and Police Reform. The speaker is the president of Clergy United for Peace in Ferguson. And you think about it, in Portland, a very, very white city with a very long history of extraordinary civic expressions of racism that run very, very deep historically and historically, socially, and culturally, I would argue. The fact that we have not had a Ferguson-like event here is astonishing. Reflecting on that, we have had a number of Ferguson-like events, small ones, which have not received the national attention, unless you count the fact that the feds had to be called in to take a long, hard look at the Portland Police Bureau. And the violence towards people who are minorities, people who have mental illnesses, all that sort of thing, and they still aren't finished looking. And meanwhile, the police continue to close ranks. Police union is very, very strong. They close ranks, and it's awfully difficult once they have circled their wagons to get in and see much change in the future, despite the feds knocking at the police door. And the AMA coalition remains deeply concerned about the appeal of Judge Simon's order. Now, another story that was approved on Wednesday. There are a number of key questions, and we have to leave that for the website because we've got Steve Horn waiting and patiently waiting in the wings with one of the biggest stories that I have come across in a long time. I spent hours and hours most of the night reading on this, but I'd rather have Steve talk to you about it personally. Thanks a lot for being back with us again today, Steve.
Good to be back. Thanks for having me, Chris.
And, of course, as listeners know, this is Steve Horn of the DeSmog blog, a website that I commend your attention to if you haven't already discovered it. It's now is definitely the time. So this is fascinating because here we finally, a link between fracking, between the continued fossil fuel market and at Wall Street, which everyone knew for a long time, there had to be connection there. And now, Steve Horn, the Smog Blog investigative journalist, has found this connection, and it's extraordinary. Steve, what did you find out? How do we connect the dots from the back and oil fields of Dakota to Wall Street?
So I don't want to take too much credit for actually discovering it, but my story is about a report that came out yesterday by the Post Carbon Institute titled Drilling Deeper with a long subtitle. And the report basically covers everything about shale gas production in the United States in the biggest fields. So seven of the biggest gas fields in the shale basins and seven of the biggest oil fields. And the conclusion of the report is that production numbers just do not match up with what the U.S. Energy Information Agency is saying. It's not the current production numbers that they're talking about. What's really important is their projections for the future. And so if you look at current drilling trends, all these fields that they're talking about that have, that the EIA is talking about that have an upward trajectory over the next 25 years through 2040, all of those fields, for the most part, are, I would say, already peaked in terms of daily production or in decline in terms of daily and annual production, daily and annual. And so what that means is that in order to keep the production levels at, say, a million barrels per day in the Bakken Shale or 1.1 million, what's happening is that because these wells over 2 or 3 year periods go in steep decline in terms of the amount of oil coming out, that means that they need to drill more wells elsewhere. So drill baby drill or frack baby frack in multiple areas around the state just in order to keep that 1.1 million barrels per day number there. So it's not as if they just keep drilling in the same spot and just getting so much oil out. It's that they're just drilling so much to keep that. I mean, they're getting a lot of oil out and they're getting a lot of gas out, and it's really changed things geopolitically for the United States for now. But you can understand why there's still worry about turmoil in the Middle East and elsewhere, Eastern Europe, because they realize that this stuff in the United States is not going to last forever. And this gets to the part that you mentioned in the ties, which is not so much in this report, and this is the part that I'm more familiar with, and that's, okay, look, who's dictating all this drilling? Where's all the money coming from? And so it's really expensive to do fracking. It's billions and billions of dollars to frack all of these wells across the country. And so basically who's dictating it is who you said. It's Wall Street firms like Goldman Sachs, Bank of America, Citibank, and huge private equity firms like Holberg, Travis Roberts, Blackstone Group, Carlyle Group, and others. And so they're the ones who are the most powerful players here. We talk about oil and gas companies as the most powerful of them all, but actually, you know, it takes money to do what they do, and they have to get it from somewhere. They have to get capital. It's capital intensive. So they get it from these capital firms, these big banks or these private equity firms or hedge funds. And so that's what's dictating all the drilling, and that's why they have to keep drilling, because, I mean, obviously they like to, but they're making money too. But who wants the return most of all is these big firms. And so that's why the drilling continues, despite the fact that there's less and less productivity in wells. And the kind of the hook here is that the most important thing is that the United States Federal Reserve is giving the banks and the oil and gas companies 0% loans, loans with 0% interest rates. And so they're able to do this for now. The report relies on sort of a methodology that says that that's going to continue. If that ever stopped, they couldn't do all this drilling. So they've had this 0% interest rate since December 2008, in the aftermath of the economic collapse. It's not just oil and gas industry. It's kind of the entire world of corporate America has been given 0% interest rates in the name of lifting up the economy. You see that it hasn't done much for anyone but the 1%. But long story short here is that they've been blessed. But in 2015, there is going to be a chance that this interest rate gets lifted. If it gets lifted, it changes the entire game for the oil and gas industry, for fracking in the United States. And we could see something akin to crisis mode for a lot of these companies that are relying on this consistent trend of 0% interest rates. So I think that that's sort of the factor that could change a lot of this drill baby drill in the future. But for now, that's what we're seeing is what's in this report. And that's why we're seeing drilling all over the place, because it's very hard to get more than about 10% of oil out of the shale, oil or gas out of these shale basins in the United States with the current technology, which is fracking. So 90% of the hydrocarbon remains in the shale basin. They haven't found a technology to get the vast majority of the hydrocarbon out of the ground. And that means more and more fracking, which goes back to why people are concerned about fracking. Climate change, water contamination issues, air contamination issues. And that's only going to continue in more and more places because of this drill baby drill trend.
Sure, and the companies involved, these companies that are basking in that and the zero interest are not necessarily even U.S. companies. We have just we have less than a minute remaining. There is reckoning coming in 2015. Indeed. I've got, of course, three more questions, but if you want to just wrap things up for listeners and give them where to go to find this out. It's, of course, the Post Carbon Institute, the Smog Blog. My last questions were in choose one and to wrap things up because we're out of time.
Sure.
Where does the water come from to do all of this? Where does the waste go? And what are the long-term costs to the communities where it's happening? We're out of time. I guess we just have to give people the references and
We'll talk about water a different time, but the title of the article is Drilling Deeper, a new report cast doubt on fracking production numbers, and water is a huge crisis in of itself, and so that's another thing we should talk about a different time, because that's an issue the industry is really concerned about, too.
Thank you so much for that. My guest, of course, has been Steve Horn of the Smog Blog. We've been talking fracking, and of course, in the Dakotas, there's a big election coming up this year. The Navajo Nation is deciding, based on language, that is going to be the linchpin of these coming elections among indigenous nations. This has been our Cascadia for Tuesday, October 28th, 2014. Janet Anderson, engineer of the show today. Thanks for that, Janet. Kathleen Stevenson is the KBOOM News and Public Affairs Director. I'm Chris Andre. Get the facts. No rights. Take a stand. Thanks for listening and stay tuned.
Flashpoints, a special report from Mexico City on the kidnap, torture, killing of some 43 Mexican student activists by members of a major drug cartel, apparently linked to the Mexican government. And we'll feature our regular weekly report from the Electronic Intifada.